This is part B of, this is number two in the Addicted Society. Now let's continue on, let's understand something as we're going here, that addiction, let's talk about how much it costs in America. Addictions, all kinds of addictions. And it's one of the most costliest public health problems in the United States. Well, it's very simple to solve. Quit promoting it. Now, Singapore has a policy. If you are caught with drugs, you're executed. That's it. No appeal, no nothing. If you're selling them, you're dead. That would end it. But people don't want to do it. See, one way or the other, if you're addicted to it, are you not the walking dead? So what is the difference if you're executed for doing it? Now, you might give them those who are addicts a chance to quit, but what it says here, addiction is the most costly of public health. Now, this is taken from addiction statistics. Unofficial summary that Ron Carey sent me from a compilation of various websites. It is a progressive syndrome, which means that it increases in severity over time unless it's treated. Do we have more drugs than ever before? Yes, indeed. Substance abuse is characterized by frequent relapse or return to the abused substance. Substance abusers often make repeated attempts to quit before they are successful, which is true. They go to rehab centers sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 times before they finally get a turnaround. In 1995, the economic cost of substance abuse in the United States exceeded $414 billion. Healthcare cost attributed to it, $114 billion. So you are dealing with over $500 billion a year. And then they list all the different addictions and the solution for them. Sexual addiction, gambling addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and the things that I mentioned, eating addiction, tobacco addiction, and tobacco addiction causes more sickness and disease than anything else. And what I've seen this, if you are an addict, you have to learn to quit being an addict instead of substituting one thing for your addiction. Alcoholics, when they go to AA, they have candy. And candy is only a substitute for the alcohol because what you're getting the carbohydrates from the sugar, which all alcohol is. Another one is smoking. Instead of taking cocaine or something like that, now you smoke. Instead of taking meth, now you smoke. And meth is the most destructive at all, and it stays in your system, it stays in your liver, and kicks out every once in a while when you are recovering and makes you angst and angry and all of those sort of things. So you see, we'll talk about getting out of it a little later on, but what we need to do is realize how pervasive addiction is. See, all of these addictions change the chemistry of your brain. Comment was made that one person overcame alcohol addiction by becoming an ice cream addict and ate it by the gallons. Now, there's eating addiction. I want to cover two things on eating addictions. Eating addictions come from several things. One, wrong eating the wrong things. Number two, because you don't know what is nutritious and what is not. And because you're so concerned about your appearance, either too fat or too thin. So they have anorexia and bulimia and binging and all of those, and it affects 5 million American men and women, 15% of young women have substantially disordered attitudes toward eating and eating behaviors. Now, let me mention this. Another addiction is diet soda addiction. You can always tell someone is addicted to a soda. Now, sodas are as bad as alcohol. Now, you can tell because they carry a bottle of soda with them, and they take the top off, and they take a little swig and nip on it, and they put the top back on and walk along and carry the bottle. Now, one thing about diet sodas. Aspartame, which is the major sweetener that is used, and some of these other substitute sweeteners are just as bad, but aspartame is a protein. And when it gets into the system, it causes a carbohydrate craving because your body is imbalanced without enough carbohydrates. So people believe that if they eat carbohydrates, those are low in fat, so they don't gain weight. But it causes them to gain even more weight. And those who are addicted to the diet sodas generally become obese over a period of time because of that. And so they get into the habit and pattern of drinking more diet sodas so they won't gain weight. So there are many, many, many different addictions. And you have prescription painkiller addictions and so forth. Now, and fat-free foods, one of the worst things you can have, and also you need to realize your body needs a certain amount of the right kinds of fat because your brain, another thing, your brain is made up mostly of fat and cholesterol anyway. Now, here's a whole, and it is a 31-page report that Ron Carey got me on pornography. Now, let's understand something that's important. I'll read some of these things in just a minute. There are two things that Satan wants to capture that you have and that you alone are responsible for. And those two things are, number one, your mind, and number two, your sex organs. If he can capture you on those two things, he's got you. This is why we covered last time, guard the door of your mind. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Now, let me just read some of the things that I have marked on the important problems of pornography, because we are under the spirit of whoredoms. We are under the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. Internet pornography, 2.5 billion emails per day are pornographic. 34% of church-going women say they have intentionally visited porn websites online. 81 pastors surveyed, 74 men, 7 women, 98% were exposed to porn, 43% intentionally accessed a sexually explicit website. MSNBC ran a chat room with kids where they made out as if they were a little kid looking for something online, and they had come to a home. I don't know if you saw it, but they'll probably repeat it, MSNBC. They had a Catholic priest. They had a banker. They had a rabbi. And all walks of life come in there. And one, they wanted to see how far this guy would go. So he said, oh, yes. By the way, come into the garage. It will be open and undress. And then come into the house. And sure enough, he did. And then the next day, he said, I need help and all of this sort of thing. And then the next day, they trapped him again and said, well, meet me down at McDonald's. So he came down to McDonald's, hoping to get a pedophilia relationship with a kid. And they all said, this is the first time I've ever done it. Okay? What's that old saying? Liar, liar, pants on fire. In 2004, there were 272 million pornographic web pages, 2.5 billion emails, which is 8% of all emails, 100,000 websites offering illegal child pornography, and 72 million worldwide visitors to pornographic websites. Yeah, pornography and children. They even have front set up for kids to order little innocent things and then downloads pornography right in front of them. So you have to, you know, you have to be careful of that. One in five kids have been propositioned for cybernet sex. Pornography and cable television and videos. There are 800 million rentals each year of adult videos and DVDs. Cable companies brought in revenue of $177 million from sexually explicit pay-per-view programming. Americans spend $10 billion annually on pornography. 38% of adults believe it is morally acceptable to look at pictures of nudity or explicit sexual behavior. And they say there's nothing wrong with pornography. Now, here's a section on teens and sex and sexually transmitted diseases. Now, let's come here to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. This needs to be taught to every child beginning at 5 years old. Guard your mind and guard your pants. That's what we talk about. Chapter 5, verse 1. Let's begin there. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. You've got to be taught. For the lips of a strange woman, or we can put man, or girl, or boy, drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Sounds good. Freedom. Oh, you can take a pill and not get pregnant. Oh, if you're pregnant, you don't even have to tell your folks, and you can have the school take you over there on school day and get an abortion. Isn't that wonderful? You've just destroyed your life. You see, because once you give up your mind and give up your sex organs to promiscuity, your life is never the same. And I can tell you this right now, that most of the marital problems that people are having today, not in the church and in the church, are because of these kind of sexual behaviors when they were younger. And it still affects them to this day. Impress upon your children you are dealing with the issues of life. That's what it says here in chapter 4 and verse 23. The issues of life, your health, your ability to think, to reason, to live, to work. But her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. Lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. Going to change the tactics, but the end result is the same. That you cannot know them. And especially if you allow your children or your teenagers to watch MTV, get involved in all of these video games, and you do not know what they are doing or where they are going, because what we're going to see, that as it relates here, that they are so sexually active today, it's almost impossible to trust them, to leave them alone anywhere. And they demand their privacy. Not so they can study the Word of God, not so they can pray to God, but so that they can play together, male and female, male to male, female to female, and have promiscuous sex, and everything is all right, and you get home from work and you don't know what's going on. And today in this corrupt Sodom and Gomorrah society, even parents encourage their children to have sex at home. Now, here's the advice. We're going to see this again and again. The only way to not get caught up into it is to avoid it, period. Verse 7, hear me now, therefore, you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Whatever the temptation is sexually, get away from it. You have no control if you stand there and are enticed in it. Come not near the door of her house, lest you give your honor unto others, and your years unto the cruel. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. Lest strangers be filled with your wealth, and your labors be in the house of a stranger, and you at the last, when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart has despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Now let's come over here to chapter 6. Let's read a little bit more. This is why the Proverbs are so important. And we're going to see there is no way that you can overcome any addiction of any kind that we have mentioned here if you give yourself one little degree of fudge factor. Now, what do I mean by that? Fudge factor, well, a little bit won't hurt. Or, well, I can get close to it, but it's not going to bother me. You cannot do that. You must get rid of it totally. See, because you either have to put yourself under the authority of God or you're under the authority of Satan, and there is no middle ground because Satan owns the middle ground. Let's come over here to chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. This is why they wanted to get God out of the schools. And the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You can no longer discipline or correct children. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Now notice, if you don't do the right way, here's what it's to do. It is to arm you. It is to give you mental strength. It is to give you the ability to say no when you ought to say no. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in your heart. That's the whole heart and core of pornography, isn't it? Yes. And where would there be pornography if there were not women willing to do that? It's like when I went out the checkout stand. There are 30 magazines with the faces of women, various degrees of whoredom and slutism, and one muscle magazine for men. Now continuing verse 25, neither let her take you with her eyelids flashing, blah, 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 blah. And where do you see the first of that? On Disney cartoons. Yes, indeed. Verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for this precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes be not burned? You know, comment was made, look at how many teachers are seducing their male, the female teachers are seducing their male students. And men, the girls. And then to avoid prosecution here recently, they ran off to Georgia, a 15-year-old boy and a 34-year-old woman, and got married because it's legal to do so. And the way it's going today, what's the greatest percentage of ministers and priests that are involved in it? Well, the Catholic Church is notorious for what it's done. Okay, now verse 28. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her, shall not be innocent. Now that talks about those who steal compared to those who commit adultery. Now verse 32. But whosoever commits adultery with a woman is lacking understanding, and he does it to destroy his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. And how many churches has this kind of behavior destroyed? And they claim to be Christian, and we've seen it also in the Church of God, right? Yes. Now, let's talk about the dagger that goes through you. Let's talk about the two-edged sword that gets them. And Satan is interested in you from as young as he can get you. Teens and sex, sexually transmitted diseases. Approximately 19 million new cases of STD occurred in 2000. Now we're here at 2005. What is it now? 68% of teens are unconcerned about sexually transmitted diseases. 78% of new cases of genital herpes are caused by a virus found chiefly in the mouths of 16 to 21-year-olds. And you tie that in with all the oral sex that's going on. 65% of all sexually transmitted infections contracted by Americans in a single year will occur in people under age 24. Every day, 8,000 teenagers become infected by a sexually transmitted disease. A young mother today has had an average of 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases. Teens from communities of color are disproportionately affected by STDs because they are more sexually active. The only black leader willing to admit that, Bill Cosby. And he was caught with an illegitimate child. Young African-American women experience at least 14 times more the reported gonorrhea rates and about 6 times the chlamydia rate of young white women. Chlamydia rates among African-American men averages ages 15 to 24 are 12 times higher than rates among white males. And that is not discrimination. That is a statistical fact based on their behavior. And where is the worst AIDS and HIV? In Africa. The next, Southeast Asia. STD and HIV. In 2002, it was estimated that 3.2 million teens under the age of 15 were living with HIV. Although African Americans comprise only 13% of the U.S. population, it accounts for over 50% of new HIV diagnoses reported in 2002 and 49% of AIDS diagnoses in 2003. I have one solution, and this is not too radical, and it's not racist. Quit fooling around. If you don't get involved in illicit sex, you're not going to get sexual diseases. Period. It's that simple. Now, we'll talk about what God talks about next week on solving the problem. Now, there is a program even that President Bush wants to sponsor and have more money. It's called Abstinent Programs. And guess what? Abstinent programs work. And guess what? Those who abstain do not get sexually transmitted diseases. Wonder of wonders. Teenage sex. 42% of guys and 33% of women averages ages 15 to 17 have had intercourse. In grade 7 to 12, 23.4% of first sexual relationships are one-night stands when they go out to the dance or go to the football game or go to the basketball game. And, oh, Mom and Dad, you're such a prude. Why can't I be with my friends? Yes, and then there are the overnighters. 33% of guys and 23% of girls feel some or a lot of pressure to have sex. Why? Because they go to sex education classes. And guess what's on their minds when they're walking home from school? Just when their bodies are beginning to mature and the sex hormones are pouring through their systems and their parents are not home to watch them because the satanic system has it that they have to work in order to live. And so their lives become all messed up mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, every other use. Now let's talk about what's going on here with a lot of teens. Okay? In fact, 77% of teens, now I want you to think about that. They would, 77% of teens would classify oral sex as sex, while 43% say oral sex is not seen as being a big deal as much as sexual intercourse. And where did they get that? It's a big enough problem without having the President of the United States saying that having oral sex is not sex. And now there is a plague of gonorrhea of the throat among teenagers. Now those things have to be, yes, 55% of teens 13 to 19 admitted to engaging in oral sex. Now I tell you what I will do. I will have Ron Carey put this whole survey online for you, and you can download it from the website. 31 pages. I'll call them and have them do it because there's too much here. And this is a summary of hundreds and hundreds of magazines, and we are literally possessed with the spirit of addiction and whoredoms. And it's not going to get any better unless there is a great deal of repentance coming down the pike. You know, Dolores made a comment just yesterday. She said, what if we could resurrect George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all the signers of the Constitution, and say, look at America. No, they would say, it is fit for destruction. This is not what we intended. Now let's come to Jeremiah 5, and let's see how this has happened through history over and over and over again. Jeremiah 5. And we're living in a time very similar to what Jeremiah lived in, only on a greatly magnified basis worldwide. Verse 7, Jeremiah 5. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are not gods. When I fed them to the full, which we are, right? They then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot houses. Any bar on Friday night, that's what it is. They were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, says the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Not something? Come over here to Jeremiah 9. It got so bad. Now, Jeremiah had a very tough ministry. He had to stand alone, and he had to withstand everyone's hatred toward him. And in standing alone, here's how he felt. Verse 1, Jeremiah 9. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had a wilderness in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like the bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. You tell them the truth, and they get angry and mad. For they proceed from evil to evil, and this means, as it has been coined in today's terminology, the downwardness of making deviancy downward. In other words, taking away all laws against those kind of behaviors and making the perverted the norm. And they know me not, says the Lord. Take heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust you not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and worry themselves to commit iniquity. Their habitation is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they refuse to know me. Now here's the heart and core of the whole thing. Come over here to verse 13. And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but they have walked after the imagination of their heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink, and will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Now that gives us an obligation that we have to do, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here. Let's come to Isaiah 58, and we'll finish where we began. That 94% of the people say they believe in God. And this is depicted right here in Isaiah 58. Recently, the History Channel showed that in the Civil War, they had hordes of prostitutes following the army, and they actually had more deaths because of venereal disease, because of that, syphilis and gonorrhea, than they did of the men who were killed. They had over 300,000 die from venereal diseases. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Cry aloud and spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Not to be mealy-mouthed, not to compromise. You know, we need to ask ourselves a question. Now, if anyone is offended at what I've said on these two sermons, then you'll just have to be offended, because you're offended at the word of the truth of God and the truth of the facts that are going on in the society around you. And we have a responsibility not only to the church but also to the people at large. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. So if 94% of the people believe in God, but we have this kind of behavior, what are we dealing with? Well, verse 2 tells us. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and that forsook not the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God, but they take no delight in doing what God wants them to do. Now, isn't it interesting? You read all the way through this 58th chapter, and what do? You come down here to verse 13, and it comes right back where I started, right? What did I say was the chink in the teachings of Christian America? Sunday keeping. So what does God say? Verse 13. If you will turn your foot away from my Sabbath, from doing my pleasure on my holy day, and it starts at sundown, doesn't it? How many crimes are committed on Friday night through Sabbath morning, how many adulteries, how many drunkennesses, how many addictions, how many sales of cocaine and illicit drugs take place on Friday night. And then they desecrate it with sports activities in the daytime all day on the Sabbath. And they don't know God. So God says the solution is start with the Sabbath. From doing your pleasure on my holy day and called the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable and shall honor him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure nor speaking your own words. So you see, it has to begin with the Sabbath. And we're going to see some other things next time on how you stop becoming an addict. You've got to do it, and you've got to do it in no uncertain terms, regardless of what the addiction is. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.